It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush. That's Adam Luckett. As always, we're presented by our friends at Monticello Bank, where people matter. They're mattering all over across the Commonwealth. They're here to take care of you. And we're here to make sure that you know what the hell is going to happen this Saturday when the Alabama Crimson Tide come rolling into Lexington for the first time since 2013. Luckett, Kentucky's 2-38-1 all time against Alabama. So we're saying there's a chance. But as one person on KS Board asked, when are we going to start expecting wins over top 10 teams? When Kentucky wins more than two games all time against Alabama. So it's history is not on the Cats' side in this matchup.
Both wins were in Lexington. So Kentucky has that going for them.
There we go.
But you're right, this has been they haven't played a lot, two longtime SEC schools, but things haven't gone well when the Cats have played the Crimson Tide. Mark Stoops has played them three times, all Crimson Tide wins by at least four touchdowns. But with that said, Nick, this is the worst Alabama team Nick Saban has had since his first year there. Now, that's a high bar.
I mean,
but that's just a fact.
It also, like, I mean, worse since he's been here. They did lose Louisiana Monroe that year. That's a very fun anecdote about, and that game was at home too. It's like one of only four teams to beat Alabama at home in the Saban tenure, and one of them is Louisiana Monroe. So it's like they're bad, and then like monster good, and then like. And then there's this, which is still pretty damn good and competing to be in the college football playoff. So
yeah, but I think there's a lot of crowning going on this week with Alabama. Obviously, so they deserved it after beating LSU. They're 6-0 in the SEC. They deserved everything they've gotten. We are due, Nick. That is true, Nick Bowman. That is true. But this isn't. Kentucky's not walking into a situation that is just, oh God, let's not lose 50-7. Let's get out of here. Just get our players out of here healthy.
This isn't the Devontae Smith, Mac Jones team that had like a bunch of guys who star on Sundays on it.
Yeah, this is not 2019 Joe Burrow, LSU.
You had to go straight to the Bengals quarterback, didn't you?
Well, I mean, he is the man.
I mean, fair enough.
He is the man. But anyway, like I do think Kentucky's got, if they, like to me, this week is really all about them coming out and playing well. They haven't played well in these games. I think that's the biggest issue. Not necessarily they haven't won, but they haven't played well in these games. They haven't made teams sweat in the fourth quarter in these top 10 type games outside of the times they've played Florida when Florida was ranked that high under Stoops. Like, they've got to start performing better in these games. And, Nick, they're running out of runway here. Okay? You've lost three games already. Three teams that are ranked higher than your top 15 teams. But Kentucky's in a position where they should have been able to pick at least one of those off. So you don't pick any of those off. And if you lose this one, which is probably likely, the season is... Everything is riding on that at the end of the year, that game against Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose that, these are two really disappointing seasons in a row. And people are going to be very upset. And there's going to be a lot of criticism, I think, fairly will come this program's way. So that's on the table. And, like, this is a big moment because you at home, mm-hmm. you just haven't played well here since the Florida game. That was, like, 2 months ago at this point now. So, like, you need to come out and put together a good effort, a good plan. Alabama's been in close games this year. Even their best games, they're not blowing people out of the water. You know, that to LSU was a two-touchdown game. Ole Miss game was close for a while. Arkansas, A&M were close ball games. So it's not like they're just pummeling people. Like, you need to give yourself a chance to win this ball game on Saturday. And it can't just be, well, you know, we just caught them on their best game. You know, they're in national title contention now. They're all, you know, their foot on the gas. Like, you need to go out and play well. So I think there is a lot riding here. This is not just, let's just go in and get out. Like, you need to go out and play good in a stage like this. Because that is because it's starting to hover over the program. That whenever they play these top teams, that they're just not up to snuff. Because they've gotten blitzed in these types of games. That needs to stop happening.
You know what is up to snuff, though? The customer service at Monticello Bank. Because like I said, that's where people matter. They've got plenty of different locations all across Kentucky. And you can bank anywhere with the GoNBC mobile app or NBCBank.com. They've been in business for 128 years because they're putting people first. They're getting the numbers on your side to get you the best deal possible. They're great partners of us here at 11 Personnel, and they're equal housing lenders, member FDIC, which means they'll hook you up with home loan, auto loan, whatever it may be, Monticello Bank. Give them consider for your personal banking or commercial banking needs. Monticello Bank, where people matter. Proud presenting sponsors of 11 Personnel. Luckett, before you set the table for us, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty with Alabama, but I wanted to start by asking you a question to kind of get in the intermediate, the short term, instead of just looking at this big picture where this team stands. But was there anything from that Mississippi State game that you saw that gave you more confidence about Kentucky going into this Alabama matchup? Because we knew that was a must win. It was against a bad offense. Was there anything you saw that actually gives you a little bit of like, okay, like I'm feeling a little bit better than maybe I was a week or two ago?
Devin Leary's wizardry in the pocket could be big this week if he can alleviate some of that pressure when they come and extend plays. I think defensively, just getting some confidence was pretty big for that group.
That was definitely a situation where you need to go to the free throw line and knock some of those down just to like know that the shots can come in, right? There's not a complete lid on the basket because they were playing about as bad as you could, and now they're getting ready to face a very explosive offense. You didn't want to have – I mean, this stupid Tennessee Josh Heupel offense just – it has a way of getting – I mean, it's about how – I hate to keep using basketball analogies, but it was about how, like, Patino got all worked up before he would play Kentucky every year at Louisville, and it got in his own head. I think you're kind of seeing that. So it's good that they did get a slump buster. Mississippi State only averaged 3.3 yards per play. I know that offense stinks, but even to kind of respond to adversity and kind of buck up and force a field goal at the end of that 20-play drive, that at least showed that, okay, they got a little bit of character here. They got a little bit of resolve here. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they are better than what they put on tape, you know, during that three-game stretch.
Yeah, my response to that is we've seen Mike Wright, Mississippi State, three SEC games. Arkansas, Auburn, and Kentucky. Arkansas and Auburn, their defenses are better than their offenses this year. Like, those aren't bad defenses. And Kentucky had a better day, better outing, and it was in Mississippi State's house, not on the road, than all of those defenses did. So, to me, it was just like, oh, this is what this defense is when they're not playing a top 15 offense. Like, that looked a lot like the Florida game when you kind of go back. Oh, were they just kind of overwhelmed? An offense that isn't good, essentially. And so that just having some confidence in this game is big. And because this week, Nick, I think it's all about the defense. I think big picture this year has been about the offense, but this week's about the defense. Because of what you just mentioned in these other three games, they just haven't played anything close to winning football.
They've gotten their asses kicked. And and it's been in a variety of ways because Tennessee ran it all over them. And then Georgia did it with the passing game. And now you're going up against a quarterback that really hasn't been a badass until as of late. So it's like, you know, I don't know what to feel about it. But to your point, Luckett, like in some of those games, they've scored some points, but the defense has just really let them down. So will they? Can really? I mean, let's be honest. Can they just limit Alabama to like one of those big plays instead of four of them? Because that's what they've been hitting some, landing some haymakers this year.
Yeah, I mean, here's my point on that. When teams play LSU, Nick, that's a skew the numbers game for opposing offenses.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So you have to look at it that way because it's been like that all season. Ole Miss ran up a 50-burger on them. Missouri had probably their best offensive performance of the season against LSU. That has been a skew-the-numbers game.
Luther Burden was the leading receiver in the country after that game.
But if you look at Alabama and every other game, Nick, outside of Mississippi State, like all their scoring is in the 20s. Like they beat Tennessee 34-20. They got a strip sack on Joe Milton.
This is like the fourth quarter, too. Kind of dagger. Yeah.
It was they scored 27 points in the game. They scored 26 against A&M. They scored 24, I believe, against Arkansas. They were in the 20s against Ole Miss. This is what this offense is. It's very much a Tommy Rees offense in that they're not great at any one particular thing, and that's what a lot of his offenses were at Notre Dame, but they're not necessarily bad at one particular thing. They're well-rounded, but they have some limitations, I believe, on offense. So Kentucky, defensively, you need to hold them to what they're established, a team that scores in the 20s in SEC games. And if you do that, then I think you'll have a shot to really hang in there and maybe make a run at winning. But if you go out here and let this team score 38 points, score 33 points, score 51 points, you're not going to have a shot. And you know what? That went at having a chance to compete in this game. So, I mean, a lot of this is about the defense needs to show up and play. You know, Jalen Milroe's a heck of a story. He's one of the bigger surprises in the SEC. There's some crazy comps out here for him right now.
Oh God, Urban, just chill, bro. Just chill.
But that is like what we saw against LSU is not. That was a one off, in my opinion. What I've seen. Now he could prove me wrong on Saturday and go on to this crazy run, but I don't believe that's what we'll see from him moving forward. So you need to keep Alabama to who they are on offense, which is a good offense who has some efficiency issues. Number 66 overall in success rate. Running the football-wise, their two backs are not having a great seasons running the ball. And then Jalen Milroe, sack rate, Nick, is 16.5%. Will Levis's sack rate last year was, I believe, 11.5%. So everyone on this podcast feed, whether you're listening in your car on Thursday morning where you're on the YouTube show right now, everyone remembers how bad of a beating Levis took in the pocket sacks. They're giving up sacks at a much higher clip. So you need to get some pressure on Milroe. You need to get him on the ground. You need to get some sacks, create long down and distances, and you need to go out and make some plays this game. They haven't made plays in these other games.
And Deion Walker talked about it tonight. Yeah, he said we're still writing our legacy. And right now, I think the biggest problem with this Kentucky defense is making those big plays on second down and then giving up a third and 17. Or you know it's felt like now they've scored tons of defensive touchdowns. It's been awesome. They've created turnovers and there will be opportunities on Saturday, but it's felt like they've been very close so much. So now you have some opportunities to leave your legacy by making those big plays, right? There's a lot of people who like J.J. Weaver. What's been his deal? You know, here's your time. Here's, as Tom Leach put it, this is one of those games. If you get the win, it's the game that everybody talks about at the reunions. This would be the team that beat Bama, right? You would go back and you would think about this team. So you have that opportunity on the table. You need to take advantage of it. And I think, like as you said, like a lot of it's going to come down to how well does this front seven get after Jalen Milroe? And you know who play a big role in that? It's the guy who talked about it today, Deion Walker, and then Trevin Wallace. I feel like another big lesson we learned from the Mississippi State win, like it was that, hey, I think Trevin's back. I think he's looking good.
Yeah. Also, Nick, they haven't produced multiple takeaways in an SEC game this season, the defense.
Yeah, they have.
They've not in one game.
Vanderbilt, they had two pick sixes.
Well, that don't – other than that, since September. Okay, that one – other than that one.
You know what? Not sorry, Vandy fans. Like, you don't care. Sorry.
Okay, other than that one, okay, I apologize. Because they have multiple takeaways in three of the first four games. And now they've gone on a stretch of five games without producing multiple takeaways and didn't have a takeaway in the Tennessee game. You know, if the defense gets one takeaway in that game, Nick, they probably win the game, right?
Yeah, couldn't get a stop.
And so you've got to start getting some more takeaways, especially if you're going to give up yards like they're giving up at certain points in these games. So that's big. So I think there's just a lot of pressure on the defense this week. They need them to play better. And how Kentucky's built just as a program, stylistically, who they want to be as an identity, as a football team, as a football program. You got to go get some stops, man. You got to go play some good, solid defense. And you got to find a way to get off the field in critical situations. Last week was a good first step. We could say competition, yada, yada, yada. But that was a good first step. Now let's see what they can do here moving forward in November. And I'm just glad we're entering this week without the quarterback injury stuff hanging over the game prep here. So we know Devin Leary's going, so now we can dive all in and kind of figure out where these two teams stack up.
Well, let's dive all into it right after we dive into some Uncle Bucks. Yeah, those are some shorts that you can find at birddogs.com. Or maybe the April Big Cannons, the Indianapolis Joneses. Those are just some of the wonderful options they have at Bird Dogs. And you should upgrade. And, you know, Kentucky's defense, it could use a little upgrade this week. Some turnovers. Turn over your wardrobe by upgrading with Bird Dogs. I find myself wondering, like, hey, what do I even ask for Christmas? You know, like, when you become an adult man, you don't really, what do you need, right? If you're forcing your women in your life to watch this podcast with you or listen to it with you, ladies, your man will look better dressed in some Bird Dogs, right? They're going to feel better and they're going to look better, especially with the shorts with the built-in liner. Be more efficient, be more comfortable, and look so much better by rocking some Bird Dogs. Put in promo code KSR. You're going to get a nice Hydro Flask style water bottle with your purchase, too. They can just be, what do you call those gifts? The white elephant? Yeah, it can be your white elephant, too. Just throw it in, boom. You take care of that. Check that box. Check all your boxes this holiday season by shopping for the men in your life at Bird Dogs, birddogs.com/KSR. Like it? I forgot who I was talking to. They said that they really enjoyed the way I say, oh, like it? Sound like I'm the local yokel. Here's a question I got for you. Does it matter what Devin Leary's injury is? Because I'm getting a sty in my right eye right now, so I'm having trouble reading. Did Devin Leary just get an abrupt sty?
What's a sty?
You know what a sty is? You never had one of those?
No.
It's like you basically get like a giant, like red little.
You don't have to show me. You can just tell me. But I'll take your word for it.
It's like you get like this. Your eye swells up, and you get like a giant bump on your eyelid. It sucks. I don't know why it gets there. It's like a byproduct of irritation, stress. God knows what. Maybe he just had a sty. Was having trouble seeing. And you know, a little warm compress, that does a lot. That does a lot to help you out. So maybe he got that warm compress. Now he can read, and now he can play. He said as much last night, like it, but he did not elaborate much about that injury, did he?
No, he did not. I asked him if he got his bell rung. He said, yeah. So, take of that what you will.
Yeah, he got his bell rung.
To me,
was the Starkville special.
I'm assuming here he got shook up in that game. I think he took a hard hit on the ground, was kind of shaken up, but I think he was probably just fine. So I don't know if it probably wasn't to me, Nick, if it was anything, it was probably a mild concussion. This is just me kind of guessing, You know what they say about assumptions.
Yep.
They make asses of us all, but hell, this is a podcast. So what else are we doing here? So I think that's probably what happened. But I think he passed all the tests. He said he went through a protocol on Sunday. It tells me that he went through all the...
I don't think it was STI protocol. I don't think they have one for those. It
tells me what the tests were and that they cleared him. I think they, you know, now you look back at the game, they probably cleared him to go back in. But he, like, he was still kind of jittery, I guess, in the head. And so they just kept him out. Because I think he probably passed the test there, would be my guess. And then he passed it again on Sunday, so he's good to go. So that's where we stand. But, yeah, definitely a weird moment there in time. Probably a moment nobody will remember by this time next week. But definitely in the moment, and then the last couple of days, it was kind of like, ooh, what's going on? Because it definitely felt like
a head injury
to me.
It's just such a relief, too, that we're not doing the whole speculation leading up to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we've dealt with before, and we experience it more often with the basketball program with, like, will they play? Will they not play? What's actually going on here? But it would have been really a tough sell, I think, for a lot of fans to buy in. I mean, the best part about being a college football fan is convincing yourself you're going to win every game. I mean, that's the fun of this sport, right? It's what makes it so beautiful, so dumb, is that you got a week to talk yourself into a win. It would have been really hard to do if we didn't know if Devin Leary was going to play or not. And so I think he showed us some good, but the problem with that offensive performance in Starkville is that they couldn't get the running game going. The one drive they did, they marched right down the field, and it was a great four-minute drive right before half that put the game away. But the rushing game has been inefficient. Ray Davis is your best player, and you haven't been able to use him for – whatever reason. As much as we've been kinder to the offensive line as of late, the coaching staff was not this week. They were pissed off at the way they played at Mississippi State.
I think it was the interior. I think the tackles played well, I thought. But the interior of the line had a woeful performance.
I mean, that one where Berrion just got drilled on the blitz. It's like, did y'all not see that guy just walk up into the A-gap? You know, I mean, they were just – open the A-gaps all night long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they definitely have to play better. I think offensively, too, they were really close to scoring a couple times. And then Leary goes out early. So, you know, and it was astute special to sit on the lead when he gets a lead. We've seen him do that before, especially up on the road, double digits. Let's just get out of here. That's just kind of his style. But you're right on the running game, Nick. Ray Davis was one of the more explosive running backs in the country. Last 2 weeks, he's got one run over 10-plus yards and 40-something carries.
Not great, Bob. Not great. Yeah.
For how Kentucky's built, they're not built to be just this hammer-away efficiency machine on the ground for the most part.
Because they're taking too many tackles for loss, and they're ending up on, like, second nines, right? And that's where you get yourself into trouble.
Right, right. First down efficiency killed them in the game. First down run game efficiency really hurt them in that game. And then they're just not creating the chunks. They really had the one drive that was really good. You mentioned the four-minute, middle eight, first half, touchdown drive. Other than that, they struggled to get the ground game going. And let's be honest, after Davis, they don't really have much there.
No, they were playing, which that
and that's that, a surprise. We thought that would be a kind of a committee approach, and some other guys would emerge. Jamarion Wilcox is, we wouldn't even, you know, you just, they never heard his name really all year.
Nope.
The true freshman that they were really excited about. Ramon Jefferson kind of took some snaps, but I think that was because Jatan McClain got hurt.
Yep.
Early in the game, and then Demi Sumo-Karngbe, they've kind of moved him to the receiver full time. It looks like
pretty much, yeah.
And so they've got to figure out what they're going to do there. But yeah, that's a concern moving forward because Bama's run defense is good. It's not great. It's not the typical Bama run defense, I would say, but it's good. They can stuff the run, but you've got to be able to find something on the ground. The way Kentucky is built, again, back to this identity stylistically, you've got to be able to run the ball some. You can't just occurred on Saturday, even if they're stuffing the box like that. You got to find ways to get some productive runs so you can open up the play action game and do some other stuff where you're not just drop back dependent.
Because that's where they've been most explosive offensively through the air is just play action. I mean,
yeah,
the big play to Tavion Robinson to set up their first touchdown. Play action. He had plenty of time. Max protect. Boom. Finds his open guy down the field. Same thing against Tennessee, right? They stack the box. You fake the run. You throw it over top of them. I mean, it was – and that's really my biggest concern going into this game is – offensively, are they able to run the ball effectively enough to set up those shot plays on play action? Because that's kind of the way I tease this episode out is, hey, where is Alabama at its most vulnerable? And you wrote about it yesterday on the site, and I know you're going to have more of it in the scouting report tomorrow on KSR Plus. Subscribe now, 50% off your annual sub. Be a nice Christmas gift too this holiday season. But explosiveness. Alabama, they give up big plays. If you can land some shots, that's how you can apply some game pressure in the second half, something that Kentucky hasn't done in these top 10 matchups.
Yeah, I just think you got to look historically what has been typically what beats a Nick Saban team. Teams that can throw the football, can really challenge them vertically down the field. So I think you're going to need a big Leary game to win on Saturday. You're going to need some run game to alleviate some pressure from your throw game, but you're going to need your receivers to make competitive catches, and you're going to need Leary to make some big boy throws and some play extension and create when maybe nothing is there. And so you're going to need a big game from your passing game, but he's got to help some help from the run game. You can't just be a non-factor there, especially with this Alabama pass rush with Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell off the edge. You cannot just let them pin their ears back 60% of the snaps. Where okay, we got to run stuff. All right, on first down, let's full go rush the passer here on second and eight, and then on third and nine. You just cannot let them do that, or you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. So you got to find some semblance of balance. But at the end of the day, your pass game has got to have a very productive performance for you to have a real chance to go and score the points you need to score to have a chance to win this game.
Which would, in theory, involve some big plays from Berrion Brown. And Siri just thought I said Siri instead of in theory. So my phone's being all weird. She's getting ready to talk. Shut up, Siri. Not, yeah, get out of here. But... same moment you had a year ago, Berrion Brown's best game was against Georgia at home, against some future NFL players. Maybe this is a game where he can get some vertical shots in, right? He rises to the occasion. I know Kool-Aid McKinstry, Caleb Downs, and co. aren't exactly the most vulnerable of targets. Pretty good football players. That Caleb Downs. I think we're going to be hearing about him a lot in the future. He's a ball player.
You know, he'll be a first round pick. He might already be the best player on their defense as a true freshman.
It's crazy.
He's really pretty good.
Did you get all hot and bothered about the Dallas Turner hit?
I went back and watched it. No,
I didn't understand it. Like it's just I thought everybody just got mad because Jaden Daniels got a concussion from it. I mean, they don't get mad if he just doesn't get concussed because it looked like a pretty normal hit. He hit him, like, it was a little up in his jaw.
But it just out of the game because, I mean, Daniels was out and the game was over. I mean, it was LSU was down 7. Didn't he throw a pick on that play?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so, that decided the game because even down 2 touchdowns, LSU could have came back. So I get the frustration, but I didn't think it was.
I mean, it's like, not like it was a dirty play. He just
it got was it. It was a violent. Vicious
I mean,
hit.
I think too. That's like our minds are so clouded by the NFL rules that we're just like eject him, get him out of here. He's never playing football again because we're used to if you just fall on a quarterback on the NFL, it's a 15-yard penalty.
But yeah, that's an automatic penalty in the NFL. I mean, that's totally against the rules. But in college, I think it's a little different. I didn't think it was a super dirty hit or anything like that, but he did hit him high. I mean, it was some helmet-to-helmet contact. So, I mean, from that aspect, could it maybe fall into the targeting realm? Possibly, but I wouldn't say that was – there's a lot of Dallas Turner's a dirty player going out there. I'm not super familiar with his game, not closely watching Alabama every week, but I didn't necessarily think that was a dirty play. It just was a violent strike on the quarterback.
Doesn't Dallas Turner sound like a 90s TV protagonist? He's you know, a cop who has to operate on the dark side. Dallas Turner, PD, coming to ABC this fall.
I was going to go more country singer in a sitcom.
Oh, yeah, or just country singer, period. They would have to be a Texas band, though, with a steel guitar, kind of like the guys in Midland, you know? Dallas Turner is Midland's bass player. Okay. You can't convince me otherwise. I'm not a big country music guy. I like them. They're fun. And I'm kind of bummed that they rained out our SEC Media Days parade.
That's right. They were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Say, I got a drinking problem.
You got no problem at all. Just good steel guitar. It's good for the soul. Just like going to watch a game with tickets from Game Time. It's great for the soul. Really heals you, gets you right. And especially, you know, mom and dad, you haven't gotten out in a while. Just go open your Game Time app. See what's coming up soon. You can go watch Louisville play glow-in-the-dark football tomorrow night for $10. You can go watch a comedy show in town. Really excited. Nate Bargatze's coming on tour. Concerts, games, Alabama, Kentucky this Saturday. Whatever it might be, Game Time has got you covered. And if you're in a pinch, late, last minute, it just takes two clicks. All you got to do is scroll through, figure out where your seat is, put in promo code KSR for your first purchase, and you get $20 off that first ticket with Game Time. So much happening right now between basketball, Rep Arena, football. Maybe you just want to take – I took once an impromptu trip to Chicago for the Champions Classic back when I was in college. One of the most fun trips I ever went to. I looked into free tickets. You can get tickets with a great deal with our friends at Game Time. Promo code KSR for $20 off your first purchase. You ever done the Champions Classic like it?
I have not done that. I've done CBS Sports, but I've not done Champions Classic.
CBS Sports is the way to go because it's a Saturday. You know, you get to do the whole weekend. It's a little bit easier. But even though Kentucky lost, it was those. I don't like a lot of neutral site basketball games, but getting one of those four team events is fun. We snuck into some seats and they were right behind Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was sitting right in front of us. It's like, hey, it's Magic. It's pretty awesome.
I take that back. I did Champions Classic 2013 when they lost to Duke. Cal's the year after the title team. So I did that. I've done that in CBS Sports. Champions Classic atmosphere was a lot better than CBS Sports atmosphere.
Yes.
Now, Kentucky was playing Ohio State that year.
That matters. Yeah.
We're 0-2 in Luckett's Champions Classic, CBS Sports Classic double dip, so maybe I should stop going. That matters. I heard the Monk team, the Fox team, when people went out to that Kentucky, you know, they said that was probably one of the best basketball environments they've ever been in, and the game was just awesome. So it all depends on kind of that.
Oh, yeah.
But I did enjoy the Champions Classic, just the experience of that. I enjoyed that more than the CBS Sports Classic, where it felt like.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It just felt like
cavernous. Important. Right, yeah. Our a mutual friend of ours, he went with me to CBS Sports when Kentucky beat UCLA. It was, 31-0? That's one of the most fun games I've ever been to. Yeah. Just, absolutely just ripping the soul out of an opponent with a name like UCLA. That was a lot of fun. And he was at the game in Vegas, and Roy Williams was at the craps table with him afterwards. Yeah. I think he also played cards with Allen Iverson that weekend. So it was a big, weekend there in Vegas. Still have not done Vegas. I gotta change that. I absolutely have to.
That's disappointing, because the way the season is going, looks like Duke's Mayo Bowl is a clubhouse favorite. And if this was an odd year, Kentucky would be in the prime position to go to. Or if this was an even year, they would be going to Vegas. But now it looks like could be going to Charlotte, and like to see the content we would get, the buzz we would get from Mark Stoops getting Mayo dumped on him. That might break the website.
I mean,
for a day in December. And
the thing is, too, is he would have to do it, but nobody would be more pissed off about it. Because so far, they've only had hacks like Beamer, who just love going viral and stuff.
Mike Loxley did it last year.
And he looked pretty miserable during it. But I don't think Mark Stoops does not want to be dumped in Mayo. Me, if we end up getting some Mayo Bowl action, give me the mayo. I will eat your mayo and I will enjoy it. It's going to be a wonderfully mayonnaise-tastic time.
Do we do the Mike Gullick Jr. thing and get some Duke's mayo and eat Oreos with it?
We do it all. I will reach out to the PR person at Duke's Mayo and say, hey, listen, give me content ideas. I'll do them all. I will have mayo coming out of my nose by the time this damn trip is over with. I don't care. Just give me the mayo, please.
Duke's mayo, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, no, it's one of the few things I will go name brand for. So I know Duke's mayo is listening right now, and they're excited about that prospect. We're excited about potentially going to Charlotte. We're also excited to head on over to KS Board to answer some questions. This is a question that seemingly comes up every year. Walker said that Godfrey mentioned it on his podcast earlier this week that if Kirk is out, he's already writing Stoops in to Iowa. Has that ship sailed, or are we still getting? I've kind of gotten over that, but it doesn't sound like that is going anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's very much alive. When you consider everything, just new SEC, no divisions, all everything that comes with that, I think that's very much something he's going to have to consider. He's not going to be a cheap hire for Iowa. They're going to have to really pay, but like for Mark and to be able to bring Mike Stoops back, like that would be a big deal for them. And I think that's something they'll definitely have to consider, and I think it's something he would consider. So that's definitely out there if it ever moves that way. You know, we have to see what Kirk Ferentz does. Was he just blowing smoke up everybody's you know what about staying a couple more years, or was he serious about that? And are they going to try to push him out? Are they cool with maybe him trying to go out and get a new offensive coordinator? We'll have to wait and see. But if that does happen, Nick, I think I know who the next head coach of Kentucky is going to be.
Yeah, I think I do too. And he's got one of the leading rushers in college football right now. He's got a former cat he recruited to Kentucky, catching 50-yard bombs. I think he's got 5 40-plus yard touchdowns this year in Chris Lewis. I think John Summerall would get a call pretty quickly from Mitch Barnhart. Here's the thing with this. Everybody just always assumed it would be Stoops. How much you're changing? I know they don't want to do what Wisconsin's doing. I don't think they want to make that drastic of a change. But part of the reason why you've pushed Kirk Ferentz out is for something new. How much new do you get with Mark Stoops at Iowa? You know, he's...
Yeah,
he's a young Kirk Ferentz, right? I mean,
I just the same reason like Kentucky would hire Summerall is kind of the same reasons they would hire Mark Stoops.
It's true.
Established winner, you know, it's won games, alum, all of that. And the thing with Mark Stoops, as much as maybe people complain here about offensive identity and stuff, like, let's play out if he goes to Iowa. Liam Cohen's either going with him. If that doesn't happen, I would bet some spare change in the couch cushion that Mark calls up Joe Moorhead, who's having a rough go.
Yeah.
At Akron. It's just like, real Joe, rough. Come over here. Let's get you back in the Big Ten. Come call plays. Let's go win some games. And then you can go and kind of reset and figure out what you want to do. Whether it's getting the NFL, yada, yada, do this or that. But just come over here. Work with a program that knows how to win. Has resources where you're not just messing around over there at one of the least funded programs in college football. Come over here. So I think just that in general, he would get a good offensive coordinator in there. And that would be a spark, I think, for Iowa. Just seeing an offense that could score 26, 27 points a game, I think, would fire some people up over there in Iowa City.
Currently, there's a conversation in the YouTube chat about Texas Pete hot sauce, and it's just not – come on, why would you – ruin your palate on Texas Pete hot sauce? It's fine, but just like Frank's, that's fine. You got to really step your game up. Get some Cholula or get some Louisiana hot sauce. None of this Texas Pete. I feel like I could make Texas Pete hot sauce. Just the most basic red hot. It's just hot. There's no flavor to it. Cholula adds real flavor. And, you know, I mean, Texas, sure, it's spicy. Go south of the border if you want to get spiced up. Come on. Yes. Thank you, J.M. Breeze.
Texas Pete, though, rode with Jefferson Pilot for a long time. So they got going for them.
So did – what was the Sun-Kissed? Not Sun-Kissed.
The Chips.
Yeah.
Golden Flake.
Golden Flake, yeah. But those weren't any good.
I do love when I go on SEC road trips, usually Alabama or I think Mississippi, you just go in a gas station and they've got 80 brands of Golden Flake chips and you're like, where do these come from?
Dude, one thing
they
that's
They only
great.
Exist here. And RC Cola used to be back in the day. That was a big one too.
Zapp's chips. Have you ever had Zapp's? The Louisiana?
I don't think so.
They're like the Louisiana Grippos where it just one bite of chip is a salt shaker. It's just so much sodium. But it is so good. They're great. They're more kettle style, though. But I'm starting to see them more at my local Kroger. So if you've never had Zapp's chips, Bourbon Street style chips, maybe give those a try. And maybe give KS Board a try. 50% off, like I said, this week. Annual subscription.
Nick, let's talk about the tempo right quick.
Yeah. That's a question we get a lot.
It's a popular talking point.
Yeah.
I've got some thoughts on that.
Ooh, like it thoughts. Let's hear them.
Number one, their efficiency is the biggest issue, I think, with this operation. They're 86, or excuse me, yeah, they're 86 in offensive success rate, 10th in the SEC in offensive success rate. So they're just falling behind the chains a lot. So I think that's a big issue. I also think Cohen going up to the box, I don't think that necessarily streamlines things, right?
Yeah.
So just walk me through. Cohen reads he gets a play, calls it in to probably Scott Woodward or whoever's on the GA in the mics. They have to get they change personnel a lot. So they have to say, hey, you get in there for him. You get in there. We're going 12 here when we're in 11. So, it's, you got to change all that out. Then you got to signal the play into Leary. Leary's got to get it. Get it on the card. Find it on the card. Read it. Liam Cohen has said it's not NFL calls, but they are more lengthy calls than normal. Get it. Read it. Get it on the line. Do the motions and shifts in the line of scrimmage. Like, just in general, it's a longer operation. So, with where they're at right now and how slow they're moving, I do think this offseason, they really have to reassess just their whole play calling operation, whether that is just if Cohen's going to be in the booth, how do they get this faster? Do they need to huddle up all the time? Like, is that something they need to do? do they, like, how do they get faster at this? I think number one, they just got to get more efficient. That'll up the play count. But I think they've got just got to think about some things. Can they figure out a way to dumb down the calls? Do we need to have
spider Y2 banana?
Yeah, can they have just, you know, orange Alabama, you know, orange Alabama Yankee, where you've got three different calls for each position group, or what? I mean, whatever. However you could do it. I don't know how you would do it. I know it's more complicated than that, but I do think they're so multiple, and we hear coaches say that all the time. Multiple, they really are multiple on offense, and kind of how they use personnel in formations and how they shift in and out. And I think they want to huddle because I think the thought there is if you huddle, it's harder on the defense to get set, but they're just not moving fast enough. So I think they got to kind of overthink everything. And my big thing is I would ask, do you really need to huddle? That's maybe the thing that would make it just
Hated huddling so much. It was so unnecessary. Like, we're smart. We call the damn play over, especially on defense, because defensive calls are much shorter than offense, right? So, like, if you just dig the signals, it was very simple. But I felt like it was always an unnecessary thing. Here's a question for you, Luckett. What was the play call, the St. X Tigers bread and butter play call for the Mike Glaser back in the day?
Oh, 0405.
Is that all? Is it just 0405? That was all you had to say?
You would have a formation, 0405. I mean, the call was like that. We were in and out of the huddle pretty fast.
But was it what? Ours was just right trap too. Right was the name of the formation. Like, it was just such a, all right, this is it.
O four was just the veer over the B gap.
Yep.
Between the guard and tackle. 0405. 0405 to the left. 0405 to the right.
Yeah, I love that. Like, if it got to four, if you just had flex right, like it. They high school's great way of dumbing it down, making it easy on everybody. Shout out to everybody still alive. Second round of the playoffs this weekend.
No, when St. X was in fourth and one, a lot of it depended on where they could get the better double team at the point of attack. But they were running. They were running at 0405. That's what we did all fall camp.
Just over and over. Run it to you.
Over and over. So when the chips are on the line, that's what we were running. And most of the time, you know, especially in short yardage, we got it because people, you just couldn't stop it. If you got movement at the point of attack on double team, you're getting 3 yards every time.
Are the Tigers going to win this weekend?
Hope so.
That was confident. Do you know last time St. X Trinity played on a home school?
Well, they didn't COVID.
Oh, okay.
Before that, I'm not sure.
Long time. Long time. Yeah. One of the many big games. There's going to be a lot next week if the chalk sort of holds. So something to look forward to there. There's somebody in the chat that thinks that quarterbacks have mics in their helmet. They do not. This is not the NFL.
They do not.
Yeah.
That would help. That would help a lot if they did, because you can get the call in like that. Like Cohen can just talk to Leary. Well, but they don't have that in college, so that makes it more difficult.
Somebody had the video of all four Rutgers guys in the different colored hoodies doing their signals. Just put the damn radios in their helmets. It'd be so much easier.
Yeah, Liam Cohen actually addressed this in a press conference, and he made it sound like it's kind of a safety thing that has to go through the NCAA because the SEC has to have the same as.
Well, there's no uniformity. Yeah, exactly. So, and I think in the NFL they all use the same kind of helmet, so. Yeah. His point was if the radio gets jarred loose, you don't want it to cause injury. And so he thought that a liability factor was at hand. I always thought it was a cost matter. But really, this is why having one governing body is stupid. It should just be conference by conference. And that's why the conferences should just, the Power Five, just do your own thing. You're operating with different rules than everybody else.
That's why the Big Ten should take Jim Harbaugh to the woodshed.
Which... Man, I love that Michigan leaked that they got their sign stolen as like a, see, we're not the only ones doing it, as like a way
are you gonna
in a game they won by 30 in the Big Ten championship over Purdue.
over the holidays, are you going to do some Big J journalism and find out what kind of cheating Purdue was doing over there?
So Jeff, what was Harbaugh's what was Harbaugh's signal for all out blitz? Right.
When he ran a AGAT power, did he just flick you off on the sideline? I mean, what was he doing to the?
Why did you just kick field goals all night, dude? Go for the score. You had the cover all night, but you kept kicking sad field goals. You had the signals. Come on. Yeah, that was brutal too. It was like Purdue plus 20 or 17 and a half or something like that, and they just kicked sad field goals all night and failed to cover. Failed to cover. Look at we mentioned covering, and you should cover the spread with our friends at FanDuel, where, folks, if you place a $5 money line bet and it wins, you're getting $150 in bonus bets. When you sign up with America's number one sports book today, use promo code PERSONNEL, and you'll get in on that action. $5 money line bet, and you'll win $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel, it's the number one sportsbook site in America. It's great. It's easy to use if you haven't played before. And they have so much at your fingertips. Every sport, you name it, right now. There's a lot of crossover like it. I'm loving the college basketball parlays. Very fun to just hit on it. I didn't really know what was going to happen in that Kentucky basketball opening game. So just to hit DJ Wagner over 10.5 points, boom. Done. Thank you. I'll take the win. I appreciate you, FanDuel. I appreciate you all signing up for FanDuel and putting in promo code PERSONNEL when you do that. And remember, you must be 21 and present in Kentucky. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Look it, we got screwed with the Devin Leary entry last week because that single game parlay, it was there. It was there for the taking. It was there to cash. And we've got one cooked up this week, but here's also something we're learning about single game parlays. If you play, if you got four that you like, if you bet them all straight up.
Yes.
And you go 3-1, then you win your money back. Now, the odds obviously aren't
great.
You
don't just win your money, you win money.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas now, we haven't cashed one now. But, you know, we do have a few plays for you. And I like where your head's at because I think if Kentucky starts fast, well, first quarter, Cats plus 2.5 action.
Yes.
Parlay that with over 1.5 of your passing touchdowns.
Which he's done, I think, 3 or 4 games in a row now. He's thrown for at least 2 touchdowns.
I played that one separately last week, too, and cashed in on that. And I wish I would have had Danke anytime touchdown, which we're also going to have in the same game parlay this week. So
and that's right over 7-1 on FanDuel.
Boom.
It's plus 7. It's like plus 730-ish right now. So, yeah, that's 7-1 odds, I think. Leary had 2 touchdown passes, Nick, against Georgia. Dan Key's been really good form here the last couple weeks. Kentucky's making it an effort to target him in the red zone, so getting him in the end zone. And then this first quarter, like I've talked about, I think it's very important for Kentucky's defense to come out and win some battles. Can they do that early? And then with Liam Cohen, Kentucky's been really good in the opening drives, opening scripts. So if they get a score at all, or if they get a touchdown in the first quarter, you're feeling good.
Yeah,
about that plus 2.5. So we're gonna ride that. I think it's got a good chance to cash, and then 7-1. That's pretty good odds for just a three leg parlay.
Let's give it a rip, and let's give it a rip with our friends at FanDuel. We'll talk more about our plays on the Pigskin Preview Thursday. Can you believe it's already week 10? 11?
11.
Gosh,
man. Flies. Are you ready? Are you ready for the December signing day and transfer portal blitz?
No.
And then the quick bowl game after Christmas.
See, okay, so here's my thing. Like it,
I think signing day's on the 20th. So I mean, it's going to be
22nd.
Like, it's going to be in like a 10-day period.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. So yeah, 22nd. So we're going to have signing day, and then it's Christmas, and then we're at the bowl game. I mean, just bang bang choo choo train. It's going to be crazy. I am, though. I can't wait till bowl season. I mean, I just, it's got me fired up because I know it's, especially when I look at the card and I see some stuff out there where, you know, I just like, I'm tired of these teams. It's mostly because I bet too much Big Ten West, right? Like that's, I'm a sicko. I'm doing it to myself. But I see these Big Ten West teams keep playing each other, and I'm just I'm sick of it. I'm getting sick of them. I want to see them play somebody else. I want to see, like, how many times do I have to see Wake Forest with a short spread, look at him and say, why the hell would I bet on this team? This is stupid, and just move on. So I just
we will
at least
have
I'm
more
moving team. On. You have it.
We will have more Big Ten West in Pigskin Preview this week.
Oh, gosh. I think I know
what's going on. We're going to the Old Faithful here to snap a losing skid. So get ready.
It's so sad that I have just started blindly betting Iowa unders, and they just keep hitting, man. It's incredible.
I'm still the Michigan State one didn't the – still upset about that. But, yeah, I think they've hit every under since then.
Yeah.
The numbers keep dropping.
Oh, man. It's an exciting time for college football. As Brad White said, you get to the end of the season, your margin of error gets slimmer.
Right. There's not much runway left.
Yeah. Yeah. You have less and less opportunities. You have to make the most of them. Let's go ahead and map this out, Luckett. Yeah, we don't have to predict Kentucky to win, but what's the roadmap, right? What does it look like if Kentucky does pull off an upset and we're singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, and it's a party in Munchkin Land in Central Kentucky?
How about don't get in a double-digit deficit in the first quarter like you did against Tennessee and Georgia?
Good start.
Get some stops early. When adversity hits, don't crumble like you did against Missouri defensively. Offensively, I think you've got to throw the football. I think you've got to be aggressive, especially early. I think getting a lead is really important early in this game. And so that's going to allow you to hang around because, in my opinion, Nick, Bama is not as explosive as these other offenses. I know Jalen Milroe he's up over 10 yards per attempt. But, Nick, this is the second most run-heavy offense in the SEC behind Auburn. And that's only because Auburn can't throw the ball worth a lick. They're number 15th nationally in run play percentage. This team wants to run the football, and they want to squeeze you out. But when you play like that, you're not built to just blow teams out of the water. So if Kentucky can get a lead early, hang around, then they've got a really good chance to get into the fourth quarter. I think it's a game where you're probably going to need two takeaways, either at least one takeaway and a huge special teams play, but most likely a couple takeaways. And then I think just for Kentucky, it's just get a lead, have some success early, and then just hang around in that football game and get in the fourth quarter and see what happens.
And to go back to the run game, and I know that that's not the key to winning there, but if you have some early explosive plays through the air, then you can have some opportunities to give the ball to Ray Davis and create some first down runs, you know,
mm-hmm.
just because nothing can help you exhale more if you're trying to put the air out of the ball in the second half. And you hand it to one, and he goes and gets 15 yards.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
Goes and gets 10 more. So we need our friend Josh Caddis, too, to keep his hands inside. He's got five penalties.
That one on Saturday was
bad. One second
that
look.
Was soft. That was soft. Yeah. I thought it was soft live, and I saw the replay. That was not a good call there by the Mr. Official. But, yeah, in any big game, Nick, your stars got to be stars. So who are Kentucky's best players offensively? Devin Leary, Ray Davis, and then the receivers, I would say.
Yep.
Any of these stars? Defensively, Deion Walker, Trevin Wallace.
Get home.
Yeah.
You need big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's go do it. Let's go see it on Saturday. Hopefully it's not a dreadful Saturday afternoon. It should be a beautiful day at Kroger Field. Wear your blue. UK Athletics is asking folks to wear their blue for a blue out against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Let's knock out that wave. Let's do something special and maybe witness a little history Saturday afternoon. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.
guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.